Good morning. There is a radio ad for California Psychics which states that if you use their services, you can experience the joy of certainty. A few examples of some of the things Christians can be certain about are that God's word is inerrant, that God created every one of us, that Jesus Christ came to die for us, and that, therefore, we are saved when we confess our sin and repent and accept him as Savior, and that we can be certain of the joy we experience as we anticipate his second coming. Today we come together to celebrate the certainty that Christ loves us and guides us as we grow in our relationship with him. Welcome to Harbor of Joy, where the certainty of Christ's life is the message.
Christ at home, my hope is found. He is my light, my strength, my song. This cornerstone, this solid ground, firm through the fiercest drought and storm. What heights of love, what depths of peace, when fears are still. My comforter, my all in all, here in the love of Christ I stand. In Christ alone, who took on flesh, fullness of God in helpless faith. Gift of love and righteousness, scorned by the ones he came to save, till on the cross as Jesus died, the wrath of God was satisfied, for every sin on him was laid, here in the death of Christ I say.
how fortunate we are to have a variety of people who still provide wonderful music for us. We are very happy this morning to have Sam Collins in the praise band with us today, and very happy again to have Stephanie Sporer with us playing at the piano. The Ash Wednesday service begins this week at 6:15, but do come early if you can for some additional special music talent. Diane Wallman will begin playing at 6 p.m. and continue throughout our service that evening. Diane and Stephanie share a very special bond, if you didn't know this, because they are mother and daughter. I have heard Diane play, and it was beautiful. So come, worship, and enjoy on Wednesday evening. This Wednesday's service will include communion and the application of ashes. Our speaker will be Justin Speaker, who will begin a series titled Perspectives of the Cross. Kathy Anderson has an announcement.
Good morning. Although the Parish Education Committee spends most of their mission working with the Joy Kids and Joy Us program, we also are cognizant of other learning opportunities. The dedicated Parish Ed staff and committee has purchased copies of the book, 30 Days to Taming Your Tongue, as an offering to each family in the congregation. Our desire is that the leadership team and the congregation members read this book during Lent. Lent is the season where we can honor Jesus' sacrifice of death with our repentance and self-discipline. Taming our tongues will help us in sharing the sweet news of the gospel. We can do this together. And I ask, if you see me not taming my tongue, please speak up, you know, nudge me and say, hey, chapter 7, did you miss it? You know, we can do this together. We are strong and stronger as a group and as a unit. So we'll work on this together. Books will be near the coffee stand out in the fellowship hall and in the narthex on the table where you sign the guest book. So let's be good disciples of Christ and good representatives of Harbor of Joy. And speaking of Joy Kids, because I'm sure I did, I'm not going to pass up this opportunity. If you are wondering what we work on the new bulletin boards in the old hallway to the side door going out to the parking lot, we have a bulletin board. There are a couple pages of our curriculum. On the pages are notes to parents, review of the lesson, review of the Bible verse, and a paper and pencil activity. On that bulletin board also, you'll see four of our themes that we've been talking about, and we've been talking about the certainty of God's word. So if you want to know what we've been up to, go check out the bulletin board. And if you want to see what we're doing, go to the bulletin board. If you want to feel what we've been doing, come to Joy Kids. Every week, you will feel humbled as a person, humbled as a role model, and humbled as a Christian as you look into those sweet little faces. And I know that because I feel that every Wednesday. So thanks, and read the book.
Let's take a minute to pass the peace.
Help here.
Yeah, no, we're in this together.
Like yeah.
Good morning. There's a great deal of peace to be passed this morning. I'll have you take your seats and we will continue.
Good morning. Today is Transfiguration Sunday, call to worship. This event reveals the divine nature of Jesus, and it offers a preview of heavenly glory, assuring believers that suffering isn't the end, and eternal life is real. We worship the one true God who sent his Son to be with us here and to lead us into his heavenly kingdom. On to the responsive reading. Almighty God, give us the vision to see beyond the turmoil of our world. Through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. So let's pray. Father God, thank you so much for this beautiful day you made for us. And thank you for giving us a glimpse of spring this week. As we watch on the news and read on the internet, there is so much turmoil in this world. We pray over the leaders in our country and around the world, and please bring us your peace. There may be turmoil in our lives too. We lay whatever is going on in our lives and place it at your feet for you to take care of. Father God, transform our hearts, minds, and ears towards you today. And today we give you our whole hearts so you can transform us. And thank you to Pastor Dan for sharing his gifts and talents with us, and let his message saturate in our hearts. We pray this in Jesus' name, amen.
And so we do. Welcome, Pastor Winkowicz.
Well, good morning. How are you all today? Yeah, peachy keen, I like that, yes, but not fuzzy, right? Yes, it's not nice, two or three of you actually, I think it was three, said, oh, I always like it when you preach, and I always respond one way. I hope you feel that way at the end of today, because one never knows. It's a joy to be with you. We've come to the time in the service where we're going to read the scripture together, and while I do have my scripture here. I think Lynn-Ann put that on the board. And so if it's on the board, I'll read it off of there so we're all reading off of the same version. Otherwise, you'll get lost. And so we start in the Old Testament in Exodus chapter 3. We'll read verses 1 through 15. And this, of course, is about Moses. Now, I'm not going to be preaching on the Transfiguration today. As I look ahead and prepare sermons, I often don't realize which days those are. I do have to tell you, I'm listening to a book on tape now called The Greatest Story Ever Told. It's written by Bear Grylls, who is actually a naturist and a survival. It is a phenomenal book. It's a retelling of the gospel story from the perspective of four of those who were there to see it. It's really made me stop and look again. And we were just on this section. I was just listening. And Peter's response was, wow, what is this? And we often don't think, you know, of those guys being real people, but they were. And what a beautiful sight of the transfiguration of our Lord. And may we all be transfigured as well. So let's read God's word here together, first starting in Exodus chapter 3. Now at this, they exclaimed, nope, we're on John. Okay, we're going to read John first. God, you thought you were confused. It was me. All right. Book of John. This is Jesus and is in one of his encounters with the Pharisees. And this they exclaimed, now we know that you are demon-possessed. Abraham died and so did the prophets, yet you say that whoever obeys your word will never taste death. Are you greater than our father Abraham? He died and so did the prophets. Who do you think you are? Jesus replied, if I glorify myself, my glory means nothing. My Father, whom you claim as your God, is the one who glorifies me. Though you do not know him, I know him. If I said I did not, I would be a liar like you. But I do know him and obey his word. Your father Abraham rejoiced at the thought of seeing my day. He saw it and was glad. You are not yet 50 years old, they said to him. And you have seen Abraham? Very truly, I tell you, Jesus answered, before Abraham was born, I am. Now we'll go to Genesis in chapter 3, and we'll read the text there. Actually, I gave you the wrong text. Lynn-Ann, it's my fault. You'll have to forgive me either today or tomorrow. He can't wait till next week. So it's Exodus chapter 3. So don't look at the screen. You may open to Exodus chapter 3, verses 1 through 15, and I am going to read it. And even worse, it'll be out of a different translation. This is a very literal translation. Just listen. The word of God was first written to be heard. Now Moses was pasturing the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian, and he led the flock to the west side of the wilderness and came to Horeb, the mountain of God. And the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a blazing fire from the midst of the bush, and he looked, and behold, the bush was burning with fire, yet the bush was not consumed. So Moses said, I must now turn aside and see this marvelous sight. Why is the bush not burned up? And the Lord saw that he turned aside to look, so God called him from the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses. And he said, here I am. Then he said, do not come near here. Remove your sandals from your feet, for the place on which you are standing is holy ground. He said also, I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. Then Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look at God. And the Lord said, I have surely seen the affliction of my people who are in Egypt, and I have heard their cry because of their taskmasters, for I know their suffering. So I have come down to deliver them from the land of the Egyptians and to bring them up from that land to the good and spacious land, to a land flowing with milk and honey, to the place of the Canaanite and the Hittite and the Amorite and the Perizzite and the Hivite and the Jebusite. So now, behold, the cry of the sons of Israel has come to me, and I have also seen the oppression with which the Egyptians are oppressing them. So now come, and I will send you to Pharaoh, and you shall bring my people, the sons of Israel, out of Egypt. But Moses said to God, who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and that I should bring the sons of Israel out of Egypt? And he said, certainly I will be with you, and this shall be the sign to you that it is I who have sent you. When you have brought the people out of Egypt, you shall serve God at this mountain. Then Moses said to God, behold, I am about to come to the sons of Israel, and I will say to them, the God of your fathers has sent me to you, and they will say to me, what is his name? What shall I say to them? And God said to Moses, I am who I am. And he said, thus you shall say to the sons of Israel, I am, has sent me to you. And God furthermore said to Moses, thus you shall say to the sons of Israel, Yahweh, the God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob, has sent me to you. Let's pray. Father, you have given us your word so that we can learn about you. I've learned something this week. Would you help me teach something that at least one person will remember today? And will it make a difference in someone's life? Lord, give me boldness and in you And we pray for the many needs of those who are here. We pray, Lord, for different things, but I want to pray especially for all those who were injured in the bus accident for the Lakers, the baseball team. And Lord, I want to pray for the family of the young man who died. I can't know their pain. And Lord, I want to pray for my good friend who was driving that bus. Lord, would you lift him up and heal his body and then heal his soul. Thank you for them and for him. And I thank you that you are a God who listens and hears and answers prayer. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Now this morning I'm going to be preaching about one of the names of God, and I'm working my way through this year. And the name this week is I Am Who I Am. And now I'm going to begin with an introduction that you may all decide I'm nuts. But I'll try it anyway. When I was a kid, I'd take a trip every summer down to Mississippi to visit my granny in her antebellum world. I'd run barefooted all week long, running wild, free as a song. And one day I happened to catch myself a squirrel. Well, I shoved him down in an old shoebox and punched a couple holes in the top, and when Sunday came, I snuck him into church. Sitting way back in the very last pew, showing him to my good buddy Hugh, when that squirrel got loose and went totally berserk. It's the day the squirrel went berserk in the first self-righteous church of the sleepy little town of Pascagoula. It was a fight for survival that broke out in revival. They were jumping pews and shouting, hallelujah. Well, what happened next is hard to tell. Some thought it was heaven, some thought it was hell. But the fact that something was among us was plain to see. As the choir sang, I surrender all, the squirrel ran up Harv Newton's coverall, and Harv leaped to his feet and said, something's got a hold on me. Well, Harv hit the aisles a-dancing and a-screaming. Some thought he had religion, others thought he had a demon, and Harv thought he had a weed eater loose in his Fruit of the Looms. Well, as Harv hit and fell to his knees to plead and beg, the squirrel ran out of his britches leg, unobserved, all the way to the other side of the room, all the way down to the Amen pew, where sat Sister Bertha Better Than You, who had been watching all the commotion with sadistic glee. Well, you should have seen you should have seen the look in her eyes when the squirrel jumped her garter and crossed her thighs, and she leaped to her feet and said, Lord, have mercy on me. She began to cry and then confess as the squirrel made laps inside her dress. And she told of gossip and church dissension. But the thing that got the most attention was when she talked about her exes and she started naming names. The day the squirrel went berserk in the first self-righteous church in the sleepy little town of Pascagoula. Well, seven deacons and the pastor got saved, and $25,000 got raised, and 50 volunteered for missions in the Congo on the spot. And even without an invitation, there were at least 500 rededications, and we all got rebaptized whether we needed it or not. Now, you've heard the Bible story, I guess, how he parted the waters for Moses to pass. All the miracles God has wrought in this old world. But the one I'll remember till my dying day is how he put that church back on the narrow way with a half-crazed Mississippi squirrel. The day that everything changed in the little tiny church in the sleepy little town of Milford, Iowa. It was a fight for survival that broke out in revival. We did not jump pews. We did shout, hallelujah. Now, why would I tell a crazy story like that before starting a message about one of the most holy names of God? Well, first of all, because you get way too comfortable sitting there in your pew and not listening. We just come and we just do our thing. You know, we're religious, so we come and I've got my spot. In fact, I know where to look around and see you because you sit in the same spot every time I'm here. And if somebody sits in your spot, you get grumpy. It's actually kind of funny to watch. My point of the story, it does tie into the message. God can do what he wants to do in the way that he wants to do it, whenever he wants to do it, and he does not need to ask your permission. He said, I am who I am. And names mean something, don't they? Now, we all have names. I'm terrible. I told somebody this morning, my wife has forbidden me to say hello and use a name. Just say hello. You don't know anybody's name. And I'm really bad at it. And so, but names actually mean something. And our names are precious to us. Now, some of our names actually mean something. My name is Daniel. I have a little plaque that I made in Daily Vacation Bible School in fourth grade. It hangs beside my bed. It said, God is judge. So I've always known what my name, that it means something. It's a Hebrew name. Abraham means father of nations. Some of your names have a meaning. Other names don't. They're just a name. I met a nice gal this morning. Her name is Patience. I don't know if she is. But that's a nice name, I thought. And see, I can remember that one. But names, when it comes to God, they mean something. They reveal something about his character, who he is. And if we know who he is, and it's Transfiguration Sunday, we know how we are supposed to be in some ways. We can never become God, of course. But it always reveals something about his character. So we read that text from Exodus chapter 3, where God said to Moses, I am who I am. It's kind of a strange grammatical structure there. And this is what you're to say to the Israelites. I am has sent me to you. Well, what does that mean? In a sense, really, Moses, and as I looked into it, he was really asking, what does your name mean? Not just what's your name. What's that mean? And I am who I am. It means I exist. It means I will exist. I am who I will be. I am the one who is, who always was, is, and always will be, is. God is not present in time. He does not get older. He does not have a big white bushy beard and long flowing white hair. God is spirit. But he is the self-existent one. He's the uncaused cause of all. The one who does not change. Everything you see around here, someone made. Someone printed this Bible. Someone made that pew. Somebody made these stands. Somebody built that piano. When there's music, that's a cause and effect. But God, there is no cause for him. He always has been. He's the unchanging one. In verse 15, it's interesting. He goes on and God also said to Moses. See, it's a second. He said, what is your name? And he said, I am that I am. But he actually gave him two names. But we miss it when we read this section. Say to the Israelites, the Lord, Yahweh, the God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob, has sent me to you. This is my name forever, the name you shall call me from generation to generation. You know, the real conservative Orthodox Jews only pronounce that name once or twice a year, Yahweh. Because it's too holy to be spoken often. And do you note there, he doesn't say, I was the God of Abraham. I am the God. Abraham was in with God now. And Isaac was with God. And Jacob was with, I am. As he could say, I am the God of Abraham. I am the God of Jacob. I am the God of Karen Duncan. I am the God of Daniel. I can do that. Because he is always. He didn't say he was. Now it's very interesting. I read out of John chapter 8:58. What is the tie-in? Well, very interesting. He's having this interaction here with the Pharisees. They're trying to figure out who does he claim to be. And Jesus is slowly whacking them in the face with truth. And he says to them these words, "Very truly I tell you," Jesus answered, "before Abraham was born, I am." Now, you guys did fall out of your pew when I read that. But I guarantee you those Pharisees were rocked back on their heels. Because it was like saying, he just declared to them he was claiming to be God himself. And what did they immediately do? Well, they actually picked up stones to stone him. You know, if you claim to be God, that's blasphemy, we're killing you. I don't know if we can come up with that big of an announcement to shock ourselves that much. The only thing I was thinking about that this morning is maybe for us guys, it's the moment when we sum up enough courage and guts and determination to look at that lady and say, "Will you marry me?" Because at that moment, we have put everything out there. And if she says, "Are you out of your mind?" we're never going to recover. We'll never forget it. Or maybe for the girl or the woman, especially if they're not expecting that question, it's time stands still. And I promise you it did that day. Because you see the person talking to Moses from the burning bush? We often think, well, that was God, Yahweh, in the Old Testament. We have one God. That was Jesus talking to, as much as it was Jesus talking out of that burning bush to Moses. And he comes here, the divine Christ, and says, "I am." And by the way, he didn't just say it once in John. He said it seven times, but we'll get there. We'll get there. In Hebrews 13:18, it says, "Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever." Now, that is a declaration for you and I. And does it mean something? I'm hoping to prove to you this morning it's very important that it means something. It means no change. Is that important? Well, I think it is. God kept his promises to Moses, didn't he? Remember what he said to Moses? He says, you're going to go get him. And here's a sign to you, Moses, because I know you. You doubt more than Thomas. And Moses, when you bring them out, you're going to come back right here to this same mountain, and this is where you're going to worship me. That's Mount Sinai. Did he come back to the same mountain? Yes, he did. I'll tell you. He crossed the Red Sea and took him, I think, 3 months to get to Mount Sinai, move all those. There he was. God kept his promises. He will keep his promises. God was compassionate. Look at the Old Testament and the stories. Was he compassionate? You bet he was, because they were just as big of knuckleheads as the rest of us are. And he was compassionate. And he will be compassionate. God was merciful. When they deserved death, he gave them life. And he is merciful to us. He rescued the helpless, the people that needed help. He rescued them, and he will rescue us when we need it. And God loved the loveless. Some of us don't feel loved. Some of us aren't very lovely. But we can be assured that the God who loved others will love us. How about his attributes? Now, I'll bet there was probably a time in your life when you memorized all the attributes of God. I'm going to run over just a few this morning. Lucky for you, or, you know, you would be here a long time. God's eternal. Never been a time when God wasn't. You will not surprise him with any of your new ideas. He's seen it all, heard it all, and is not surprised. God's immutable. We already talked about that. That's a big word to mean he doesn't change. It's not that God is more powerful today or knows more today than he knew yesterday. He always knows. He's always the same. He's omnipresent. He's everywhere at all times. Now, when I was a little boy, my mom had very serious rules in the house. And both my mom and dad were pretty careful in their speech. They weren't cussers, unless we were sorting cattle. I learned a lot of language sorting cattle. But you didn't use it in the house. My mom was a little lady, and more than once I saw my older brother standing there, and she's had him by the arm. Big, tall guy, little lady, and she's talking, and he's saying, "Yes, Mom, yes, Mom, yes, Mom." I would go under the kitchen table and cuss so God couldn't hear me. Well, it's just stupid. I mean, God is everywhere. God is sovereign. He works through all these situations. I don't understand the accident with the bus for Iowa Lakes. It's impossible for me to put in human words how that can be just and good and right and holy. I don't know. But I know God was there when it happened. God is omniscient. He knows everything. God is omnipotent. He can do anything. God is always just and always loving. Those two all of these all work together, and he's always truth. He's true. There's no falseness in God. He's not like that friend you have that is your friend on the weekend, but when you go to school or you get in a bigger group, well, now they're not your friend anymore because you're just not quite as cool as that other person. No, God is always, always true, and he's free. That's why I said in the beginning, God can do whatever he wants, whenever he wants, however he wants to do it. And if God wanted to freak you out this morning with a squirrel running up your pant leg, I guarantee he could do it, and you couldn't do anything to stop it. And you'd hit the aisles dancing and screaming as well. And he's always holy. Whatever God says is holy, and whatever he says is unholy. Now, those are his attributes. I just ran by 11 of them. Now I want to switch to his miracles because they tie together. Think of the ark and Noah in there. That's kind of an amazing thing. Now, some of you, that's kind of far off, but we talked about Moses today. Think about Moses passing through the Red Sea when he walked up there and the water passed and he went through. Wasn't that phenomenal and amazing? How about when they didn't have any water and Moses went and struck the rock and water came gushing out? It's a pretty amazing miracle. Or when Joshua, the next guy after Moses, asked the Lord to have the sun stand still, and he did. Or when Elijah asked a little old widow lady who was about to cook her last meal for herself and her son, would you give me something to eat? And she did, and her oil and flour did not run out. Or how about the three men in the fire, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? They didn't burn up, and the fire didn't touch them. God didn't take them around. He took them through it. Or Daniel in the lion's den. Or let's go to Jesus. He healed a leper. Nobody could heal a leper. Nobody touched a leper. Or Jesus gave them sight. He gave them hearing, and he raised Lazarus from the dead. Well, why could Jesus do all this stuff? I mean, isn't that amazing? Well, I already told you, he said who he was. He said, I am. And seven times. Listen to this. In John 6:35, Jesus said, I am the word of life. Whoever comes to me will never go hungry, and whoever believes in me will never be thirsty. Are you hungry? In John 8:12, it says, I am the light of the world. When Jesus spoke again to the people, he said, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. Are you a little bit lost? You can't see? John 10:7 says, therefore Jesus said, very truly, I tell you, I am the gate for the sheep. If he's the gate, you're safe inside. In John 10:14, it says, I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep and my sheep know me. Are you lonely? John 11:25 says, I am the resurrection and the life. John 14:6 says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. John 15:5 says, I am the true vine. You are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If you find yourself withering, you're not on the vine. Well, what does this teach us? It's nice to know that that's one of God's names. Well, to me, it teaches two things. And it impacted me greatly. I don't know if it will impact you. But the first one is this. Our God does not change. And that's pretty crazy, because that means that the God that parted the Red Sea for Moses could part the Red Sea for you. It's the God who made the sun stand still can make the sun stand still if that's what is best for you, because you're his child. And I hope that's a new thing. I hope that you kind of open your eyes and see something new. I'm going to tell you a personal story this morning as I drove away to preach. Sophie, my 15-year-old, and those of you know she's special needs, and so all of my life I've tried to teach her different things. And whenever I drive away, she always stands in the porch to watch. This morning as I drove away, for the first time, she waved goodbye. Absolutely amazing. Amazing. I've only been trying to teach her to wave for probably 14 years. I want to tell you that I think God did that. I never could get her to do it. But there it was. Do you believe that God still does miracles? Well, here's the news. Whether you believe it or not, he does. And he can. And he will when it's the right and good thing to do. Think of all those miracles you've ever heard in the Bible. It was a Ray Stevens song. Go and listen to him sing it. Look it up on YouTube. You'll love the way he performs it way better than me. Well, you don't want me to sing to you. Listen, you know, about this half crazy squirrel. God has done amazing things and more things than we know. And so, number one, I hope you can remember this. Our God does not change. He's not less powerful today than he was yesterday. Same God. And number two is pretty simple. Because that's true, you can trust him with whatever you've got today. I don't know what you've got. I don't know your lives from the inside out. You don't know my life from the inside out. Our lives aren't easy. We have hard spots and difficult spots. But every attribute of God that was true in Moses' time is true today. He's still just. He's still loving. He's still compassionate. He's still omnipresent, omniscient. He knows everything. He's sovereign. That's your God. Well, Moses trusted God. Do you? Now, you're no better than Moses. God's going to have to prove it to you too, probably. But as I was thinking about this, I thought this song came to mind. It actually comes out of Lamentations 3:22. And it's a song many of you could sing. Great is thy faithfulness, O God my Father. There is no shadow of turning in thee. Thou changest not, thy compassions, they fail not. As thou hast been, thou forever shalt be. Absolute truth. I love the way the song goes on. Summer and winter and springtime and harvest, sun, moon, and stars in their courses above, join with all nature in manifold witness to thy great faithfulness, mercy, and love. Pardon for sin and a peace that endureth, thine own dear presence to cheer and to guide, strength for today and bright hope for tomorrow, blessings all mine and 10,000 beside. Great is thy faithfulness. Great is thy faithfulness. Morning by morning, new mercies I see. All I have needed, thy hand has provided. Great is thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me. I am who I am. Our Lord God does not change, my friends. And you can trust him today and every day. Let's pray. Father, thank you that you use the weak of this world to confound the wise. And Lord, thank you that you use little things to make big changes. Lord, would there be a big change in someone's life today? May they go, Lord, today may be the first day they go from grumpy to filled with joy. May they go from hopeless to hopeful, or may they just not trusting you to trusting. I don't know. But work, Lord, most in my own heart. I thank you for it, and I love you. We pray these things in your Son's precious name. Amen. And now if you would say with me, we're going to repeat the Lord's Prayer that Jesus taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. And then let us repeat together the Apostles' Creed, which of course, as I've explained before, it's a short section of the Nicene Creed. And we've now, and so when you do this, I often say it, remember, there's about 1 billion other people on the planet that are repeating this. In some ways, we're so different, but in other ways, we're so together. So let's say it together. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord. He was conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. On the third day, he rose again. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. And since I switched the schedule on you, now we're going to sing. So come on up and we're going to sing Turn Your Eyes Upon Jesus. You'll be happy to know that I was recently in a church I hadn't been in before, and I gave the benediction before I even got to preaching. I even surprised myself that day. So let's sing together and then I'll close. And now, to him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to make you stand in the presence of his glory blameless with great joy, to the only God our Savior, through Jesus Christ our Lord, be glory, majesty, might, and authority before all time, and now and forever. Amen. God bless you all.